And good morning to you all. Now, it's Morning Focus here with you until 12 o'clock. We will have our competition question coming very shortly. Do stay tuned. And in a short little while, I want to look ahead to an event that's taking place in the heart of Venice this Sunday. Fun for all the family and fun across Saturday in particular. But one of the guests who's joined me in studio to discuss that is Dara McAllister, who you'll know from Lucas's Bar in Pennell Street. He's also the Clare Chair of the Vintners Federation. Good morning to you, Dara.
Good morning, Gal.
We'll talk about that in a second, but you were in touch with us yesterday during the programme with regards to these new drink driving laws and some of the proposals that look set to become more than just proposals. Councillor Bill Slattery was critical of them, and again today in our news you've heard from Councillor James Breen echoing a similar sentiment. What are your own thoughts in terms of what's coming, I suppose?
Yeah, well, of course, the important thing to remember is that they're not new laws. There's nothing
being much more stringent penalties.
This is the problem, and that's the issue that a lot of people have with it, and I think rightly so, that there is already a stringent penalty there for these things. Nothing has been made illegal that isn't already illegal. And the problem is that a focus is being put on people, perhaps undeservedly, perhaps deservedly so, but certainly that will have an imbalanced effect on trade for a very important industry in this country and in this county in particular. When the excuse being used, unfortunately, and it's been trotted out a lot, and it's unfair, I think, and unjust to use it, is that lives are being saved, whereas in reality, if resources were provided, lives would be saved, and it would be a much more effective way of dealing with it.
But is the mere fear that I could lose my licence for a short period of time, that I could be put off the road, and the fact that that is a much more stringent penalty than merely getting points on that same licence, does that not lead to a change in attitudes, which leads to a change in behaviour and hopefully safer roads?
Well, let's look at a very realistic scenario. We are being told, obviously, to not drink and drive. I fully support that. I don't ever support anyone who suggests that people should or can drink irresponsibly or drive irresponsibly. I believe in climate change and I don't believe in fairies. Okay, we're not those people.
Sure.
Right? So we don't ever want anyone to drink and drive. It's not a good idea. The problem is, if you take all the advice that you're given and you follow the instructions that you're now being given from Dublin and you do all the right things, in my case, living in Rouen, €20 in a taxi to go to town for a couple of drinks, €20 to come home, €10 or €15 for a babysitter, and then you get up at 8 in the morning to go to work like everybody else and pay your taxes, and you're left standing on the side of the motorway by the guards and you've lost your job. I don't think that's quite fair. Whereas, had you found yourself with a very serious fine, a number of points on your license, you've then learned your lesson, you then realise, well, do you know what, I actually can't have that many, because this is the problem. The law is quite clear on stealing. You can't steal something, it's against the law. You can't kill someone, it's against the law. There are several things that are quite black and white, whereas the ability to do different things, William Revel, for example, Professor William Revel of the Irish Times mentioned, there are people who have never drank alcohol in their lives who would fall between the 50 and 80 category because their guts themselves, their intestines actually produce alcohol. That's a very real thing. Now, it's a small number of people, but it's a real thing.
Yeah, but I could turn around and give you a medical cert in that case, I'm sure, to get away with that, to get out of that
if you knew it, Gavin. If you knew it, this is the problem. It's the unknown. Now, we can't blame Garda Síochána for doing their job. It's a very important and difficult role for them to fulfil, and they're not being given the resources to do it effectively. If they had the manpower and if they had the budget, they could go after people who are actually causing damage and doing danger to the community when it's required. They don't. They have to use the manpower they have when they have them, which is, of course, first thing in the morning.
Will this decimate rural pubs?
It's been coming a long time. It's been happening for quite a while. It would be facetious of anyone to pick one particular incident or a particular move, but this is definitely, I think, the last nail in the coffin of very, very many families.
Just before we go back to the reason we invited you in, I just want to share this bit of audio, which is 20 seconds long. It's Shane Ross, who's trying to come up with ideas for rural areas. He's including, this includes community cars where sober volunteers will be paid to bring customers home safely, and even potentially publicans driving customers home themselves.
Can we just, I'm sorry for interrupting you. Can we all remember why this happens? This is supposed to be the Minister for Transport speaking.
Well, it is the Minister for Transport.
I don't expect it to be totally free of charge to anybody. Of course not, because there may be insurance complications as well. If you get into a situation where publicans take people home, they may be acting in a commercial way, which might change their insurance premiums. So we haven't got down to the cost. We don't think it'll be very expensive, because what we'd be looking to, first of all, is for the communities to help themselves.
Do you want to respond to that?
I think it's a lot of nonsense. And I think it's waffle. I think all he's doing is filling time until such time as it's passed. I think it's an unfortunate... It is very much a political event that's happened here. It's to do with party politics. It's to do with personalities. And I don't think that that's reason enough to do the damage to an important industry and to people's livelihoods that is going to happen.
We discussed it extensively on the programme. If you've got thoughts at home, we discussed it extensively yesterday. I mean, and again, obviously, just now, if you've got thoughts at home, they're more than welcome. But I'm going to move on from that and bring in our other guest who's been sitting patiently as we've been having our discussion here. Margaret O'Brien is the Festival Coordinator with Ennis Chamber of for Ennis, working with the Chamber of Commerce and the Council as well, Margaret, I think, as well, to make sure everybody gets their due credit. And yourself and Dara are here with us this morning to tell us about a Halloween festival, a bit of a departure for the town, I think.
Yes. Thanks very much, Gavin. Yes, part of my role is to work with existing festivals in Ennis, but the other part is to maybe talk to people and see if there are some initiatives worth exploring. So this is first up, really, as an initiative worth exploring. It's Parnell Street is like a movie set for Halloween. I mean, it's a gift. Mm. You know, it's those laneways, the bowways. It's fantastic.
You mean that as a compliment, and, by the way.
Yeah. and the traders in that part of town were looking to create some kind of an event for themselves. Now, I hope this will be the first of many for them, because they've really come together. And I know Dara, as a trader down there, will talk a bit more about, you know, how the traders have supported this from the ground up, which is important for any festival, that you've got that sort of buy-in. But the Halloween Festival, the idea is to create something this year and put the structures and framework in place that it's something that can grow organically. So we have a committee together this year. We have all of the offices filled. You know, we've treasurer, we've secretary, fundraisers, blah, blah, blah. So, and the idea is then next year we can graduate to looking for funding sources outside of the base, which is the trader base. Okay. The council kindly gave us €500 towards it this year, and we're getting festoon lights. So this year, to keep it simple and keep it doable, we're focusing on a family day, essentially, on during the daytime on Saturday. And we'll have, there's a circus performer in the morning, so there'll be somebody on a unicycle flying up and down the, of course, pedestrian streets, ideal for
of
something
course,
like
yes,
this.
Yes, yeah.
So we'll have somebody juggling in the afternoon. We've got Clare Youth Theatre doing a sketch on Dracula between 3 and 4 in the afternoon. We have the Clare Youth Services on board to do storytelling in O'Mahony's shop, in Little Ones and in Chapel Lane Market. We have a mask making class going on in Chapel Lane Market, and we also have Ollie, who does walking tours of Ennis with a twist, and he's certainly doing one with a twist this Saturday. He's doing 3 different walks. He'll be meeting at the square, and he's doing ghost stories through the lanes and bowways of Parnell Street with children. So, and then that'll culminate then in a modest festival, I think, or parade, I would say, this year. But it's but it'll be fun, and again, it'll be a focus for people. So at 6:30, starting from the height, well, actually, Ennis Brass Band will start from the Queen's Hotel and march up Abbey Street.
Okay.
The others will join them at the height and march down. We have festoon lights, so it'll look really pretty down along Parnell Street. So we have some dance classes from town. We have the Polish folk group are joining us. The Ennis Brass Band will lead it out. We have the traders from Parnell Street. And we're looking for people with dogs that are well socialised and well behaved to bring their dogs dressed up, because there'll be prizes for a spookily dressed dog. So that's really, in a nutshell, what's happening on the day. And if I can just give a shout out, we have a Facebook page, Ennis Creative Quarter Presents Halloween. So that's the Facebook page, and I'll also leave you details of the email address, Gavin,
sure,
because
yeah,
you can email in to get places at the various classes, which are all heavily subsidised, so everything is very affordable.
And I guess, Dara, we have, over the last couple of years at times, focused on Parnell Street and the view that has been expressed from people trading on the street itself of need for regeneration,
yes, of course,
a bit of life. But one thing that seems to have come out of that is a really strong cohesion between the traders there.
That's,
and that leads to this.
That's exactly it, Gavin. When it was first brought to our attention that there was a gap there, essentially in the festival market, and very much thanks to Margaret, and backed, of course, by the Chamber and the Council, who came up with the idea of doing something around this time of year, the traders jumped on it, because it has created a bit of a community there. Everyone's on a first name basis.
And you don't have to get together, you know each other.
Exactly. In a lot of cases, in other towns and even other parts perhaps of the town, that would be the case. You'd have an initial meeting with a meet and greet and getting to know everyone. In this case, it was texts, it was emails, you know, it was chatting on the street. So it came together actually very, very quickly. And it's gasped when you hear Margaret list out what is happening. This is a small, modest festival. We are hoping to start off small, you know, and within our capacity for the first year. But my God, there's an awful lot happening over the course of a short space of time.
And I forgot the face painters.
And that's it. You know what? If people come along, they'll see, they'll find out what's there, because that's the best way to find out is to just turn up on the day and see what's sure. happening. The traders did a great job to come together and to fund to a large extent what's going on, and we're backing them. The nightlife is going to take on later in the evening in Lucas's and McHugh's and Fáilte Constantine's as well to keep the spirit of the festival going, but it'll be very family focused for the earlier part.
I can't let something pass by. Margaret called it the creative quarter.
Is this
when we've talked about big ideas for Brunel Street?
Is
this a bit of branding?
You know what? It is, and it's. I won't say it's accidental, because nothing Margaret does is accidental. Everything she does is fantastic and very deliberate. But it did kind of happen very organically, in the sense that we're sitting down with the traders and with Margaret, listing off the kind of businesses and the kind of people who are based in Pernell Street and who are from Pernell Street and who go to the pubs and cafes in Pernell Street. Yeah, it is. It's basically our little Latin Quarter, really. You know, you've got very creative people in that area. We're not covered in phone shops. There's a lot of different activity going on in Pernell Street. So yeah, I think it's actually a nice little hangout.
Yeah, and I think the first meeting, you know, is kind of says all. You know, we had a tattoo artist there, we had some barbers, hairdressers, and these are really, you know, these are the kind of vibrant people that you need, full of ideas to get involved in things. Now, at the end of the day, it's usually the old hands, the Noreen Toomey Walshes, and the people who, I'm sure more or less mind me saying, but have been around the block and have fought for Pernell Street for a long time. They're the people who go out and start rattling the can and get the money off people. Yeah. Mm. You know, and you need that balance in a committee. You need the people who have been on committees before that know how committees work, but you need new people coming on board with new ideas as well. And, you know, we're very fortunate in Pernell Street, and I know that, you know, they've rode behind us now. We can't actually this year ordain what films go into the cinema, but in terms of a creative quarter, there's a cinema down there as well, and there are, you know, as Dara said, there are lots of little creative shops down there, and it's so quirky as an area.
It's like I said, it's ready made for a festival like this, so it kind of falls into place as the creative quarter.
Once the tattoo artist's ink doesn't get mixed up with the face painter's ink,
they won't.
Contact Sarah Finn with any complaints.
Absolutely, yeah, this is your show. But look, it's an idea to get people down, to get people onto the street, to get people into the town centre of a Saturday afternoon. We're focusing on Brunel Street, but the traders and the lanes that are coming off of it as well are getting involved.
And they're all involved, it's worth saying. Salthouse Lane, Merchant Square, Chapel Lane, they're all involved. So, and you know, just to keep the buzz going, and that's what it's about. It's creating an atmosphere down there on the day as well. So there'll be a prize for the best dressed window on Parnell Street. There'll be a prize for the best dressed shop assistant. So, you know, if you are out and about that day and you want to put a smile on your face, they'll be the shops to go to, because you know you'll at least have a laugh down there. I think it'll be good fun.
And you mentioned the night time as well, Dara.
Yeah, there'll be a bit of activity. Essentially, it'll be like a wrap party for this initial kickoff festival, first festival. So yeah, we'll have a Halloween party in Lucas's. There'll be music in McHugh's. I think there's a session in Constantine's as well. So yeah, there'll be a bit of activity. The Saturday of the Halloween weekend is always a big night for bigger kids to dress up as well. Yeah. So they'll be accommodated. They'll be accommodated after dark as well.
Very good. And I'd like to stress that if you know, there are bigger kids out there who say they've nowhere to go in Ennis, you know, and we are, by the way, being joking here. We're talking about strictly over 18. But, you know, that they need some place to go as well. And if they want to dress up, they'll be very welcome down the streets in Parnell Street.
That's the night time. And the daytime, it's for...
It's really family. And it's kids.
Big kids and everything else. Yeah.
And as I say, if you go onto the Facebook, in terms of knowing what classes are on and what activities are on, it's all there. There's still some places left on some of the storytelling, and it's worth saying as well that Clare Youth Services are going to do a Halloween games in the hub between 4 and 5 now. Very children good. Would have to be accompanied by an adult going to that. So there's plenty on around the place.
And do give a look to the Facebook page and book early, because they're filling up fairly quickly.
Sure.
A lot of the places have been taken already. So if you go to... we have the Facebook page.
Because it reminds us of the title of the Facebook page.
Yeah, it's Ennis Creative Quarter Presents Halloween.
Presents Halloween.
And that's on Facebook. And of course, you can always email the group as well on halloweenfestivalennis@gmail.com.
Lovely stuff. Ennis Creative Quarter Presents Halloween as well for the Facebook page, all the details, the whens and the wheres and the whole lot. But essentially, it seems to be most of Saturday.
From 11 o'clock on in the morning.
And just finally, maybe looking a little bit past this, and obviously wishing you all the best to that, we talked about the community cohesion, Dara, to yourself first, and this is this almost like dipping a toe in the water? What's possible? What can we do going forward?
Absolutely. I have a great role for Halloween. I loved it as a kid. We always have a big day in my... currently my mother's house, so she's a grandmother and a great grandmother now, but it's still all, it all hinges around her house. It's a big family day, a big community day, which I think actually has waned a bit over the years, and there's a massive, I personally believe, a massive gap, not just locally but nationally, around the Halloween time, to make something more of what we have. And that's the first step we're taking here, is we're looking at what we have in Ennis, which is a wonderful area of the town that lends itself naturally to Halloween. We're filling that with stuff for this year. Next year will be bigger, the year after bigger again, and who knows what kind of legs it'll grow.
And I know, and for people listening in other parts of the town, Margaret, you're not just working exclusively for Parnell Street, but more will come for other areas as well if they're feeling left out this morning.
Sure, we all know that the centre of Ennis, we'd like to think it's bigger than it is. It's a small town at the centre and at its heart. So I think the vibe will resonate around the other streets. And we've had support from traders in O'Connell Street. You know, they're great to kind of like and share and pass the word around. So, you know, it's good to see that level of support in the town, because what we're not trying to promote is people or areas existing as silos. It's just that Parnell Street, it's pedestrianised, so it's ready-made for a parade. It's, you know, and the laneways, I think, and just the architecture and history of it make it perfect as a backdrop for Halloween. And who knows, this might grow year two, year three, whatever, it might spread around the town.
Sure.
As, you know, if we can build on the financial base, then we'll be able to look at that.
Absolutely indeed. We wish you all the very best with it.
Thank you, Gavin.
Ennis Creative Quarter presents Halloween Saturday from 11 and morning at 8 as well. Darren McAllister and Margaret O'Brien, thank you very much.
Thanks, Gavin.
For coming
to
this morning. Our Morning Focus Book Club is coming up next. Nutshell by Ian McEwan is what we're taking a look at. So stay tuned.
Join the conversation in Clare on Facebook, Twitter, or call 1850 400 964.